Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Curfews and National Guard troops are in place in California's biggest cities and some that are not so big. Vallejo imposed a curfew. West Sacramento joined the capital city in imposing a curfew from 8 last night until 5 this morning. It's in place again tonight. Sacramento's Mayor Daryl Steinberg is joining us by phone. Mayor Steinberg, glad to have you with us. And how much difference did the curfew and the National Guard troops make in the downtown?
Good morning, Beth. I think it made a difference. I don't think it was the only thing, but I think the added tool of a curfew sent a message, number one, and gave our law enforcement officials one additional tool to be able to ensure that the mayhem, the destruction, did not occur. But I also want to give great credit to Stavante Clark. This young man is very complex, and of course, there's some allegations against him, which I don't know are true or not. Certainly wouldn't excuse any of that. But this young man has some real leadership qualities, and he led that march last night and insisted that it be peaceful, and it was, and I give him credit for that.
Stavante Clark is the brother of Stephon Clark, who was killed by police in his grandmother's backyard in March of 2018. Why is Stavante Clark making a difference? What is he saying, or how are people listening to him that's having impact?
Well, he is credible because he has borne the pain and the experience, so he is relatable. And he's also very genuine in terms of the way he speaks and the way he comes across. And again, he's very complex, and yet we need his voice and voices like his to demand change, but also demand that the city not be destroyed in the process, because that sets back the rightful cause to address systemic racism and to change some of the practices and all of the other things that are at the root of what is going on, not just in our city, but throughout the entire country.
You and I spoke on Sunday morning after a wave of protest, some violence, significant damage at that point that had happened Saturday night. I asked about a curfew. I asked about National Guard troops and fences. You were not ready to take those steps. Was it a mistake to wait?
No, it was not. And I choose to look forward, not backwards. Look, we had long conversations with our police chief, with our public safety experts. And the feeling then, remember, the protests had been peaceful during the day, and it turned violent at night. The feeling was at the time that if we imposed a curfew too early, that it could actually make the situation worse, because it would be seen, if you will, as a dare and as a provocation to elevate even more. As terrible as the two nights were prior to last night in Sacramento, with the property destruction and the unbelievable amount of vandalism and looting, I will say that the fact that no one was seriously hurt or injured and no building was destroyed was a blessing as well. And so I'm not going to look back. We look forward. We assess every day. We made the decision firmly but reluctantly yesterday. And I believe that we will continue the curfew tonight. At least I would recommend that, because I think we want to make sure that we have a little bit more stability here and assurance for the public that it is safe. This will not be a long-term curfew in any way. We will get back to life, and we'll come back roaring in the downtown, the midtown, and the city better than ever.
Mayor Steinberg, President Trump spoke yesterday about violence across the country and who was causing it. And in light of some of your comments about what was happening in Sacramento, I want you to listen to a short clip, and then we'll talk more about who might have been the who behind this.
But in recent days, our nation has been gripped by professional anarchists, violent mobs, arsonists, looters, criminals, rioters, Antifa, and others.
So are these some of the people who ravaged Sacramento? And how, in your mind, are you separating whomever is behind the most destructive actions in the city from people that Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn yesterday described as legitimate protesters?
Well, we suspect that there are people from outside Sacramento that are coming in that helped organize the destruction, which are not protests, it's destruction. And yes, we do have to distinguish people who engage in illegal behavior, who destroy, with those who are protesting peacefully. And frankly, we have to give much more voice to those who are protesting peacefully, not just uplift them, but actually hear what they are saying, affirm what they are saying. Black lives matter. We need to say it. We need to internalize it. We need to respond to it. We need to change what must be changed. And so giving the people who are out on our streets insistently but peacefully saying that we must change, we need to uplift those people. And, you know, on the other side, we have to come down hard on anybody who would use the pretext of this terrible situation in our country, the death of George Floyd, and use it to destroy, because that's not acceptable either.
How much damage are you estimating was done to downtown Sacramento? And I'm giving that a big latitude when I say downtown.
Well, we've heard estimates of $10 million or so. And I don't know what the actual number will turn out to be, but it was significant. But it is mostly, if not all, repairable. And, you know, it is a good time, if you will, this is not a good time, but it is good timing, that the city last week decided to put forward $10 million of its federal stimulus resources to assist small businesses coming out of the COVID epidemic, which, by the way, is not done. Well, now we, I think, need to prioritize those businesses that have suffered the double whammy, who had to close for months because of COVID, and now have suffered even more because of what occurred two nights ago and the night before last. And so we're going to be talking about prioritizing that first $10 million to make sure that the businesses that have been hit the last couple nights, who are eligible under the COVID criteria, get the help that they deserve.
Are you saying that $10 million will go to assist businesses in the downtown area hit in the last couple days?
I'm saying that we ought to prioritize as many of those businesses as possible. That money, of course, is not just intended for the downtown, but for businesses throughout Sacramento who were hit hard by COVID. But when it comes to priority, I would like to see at least some priority given to those businesses that have been hit by the double whammy.
So I want to go back to the decision-making about this. And on Sunday morning, you said you would recommend a decision to city leaders, to the police chief. How much weight does your recommendation carry in terms of the decision that is or isn't made?
Well, I certainly have a bully pulpit, and I think I know I have the support of the majority of the city and of my colleagues on the city council. But I'm also not a professional law enforcement official, and it is important to rely on the judgment of people who are the experts when it comes to how to best maintain the peace and safety. And so I don't just go out there on my own because it's what I think. I have my own strong instinct, and I know when and how to push. I mean, when I woke up Monday morning after two nights of seeing this, it was very clear to me that a curfew, which again is not a panacea. I mean, curfews in some parts of the state and country have not worked very well because they, in fact, did have that unintended consequence of spurring the destruction the way I described earlier. But when I woke up on Monday morning, I said, no, today we are imposing a curfew. And
Mayor Steinberg, can I pause you? Because I know to some people that's going to sound like, wow, you needed it to get that bad before you were ready to take a step. And I just say it that way because my real question was going to be, what signals were you watching for? Did you think the situation was going to calm? But then you woke up and saw $10 million plus in damage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at here.
Right. Well, the first day, let's take it day by day. On Saturday, the protests throughout the day were peaceful. And they were peaceful actually into the early evening. They turned destructive after that. Okay? That's one night. On Sunday, we enhanced and increased our mutual aid agreements with our fellow law enforcement agencies throughout the region. And so we were prepared with additional capacity to be able to meet what we anticipated would be similar to the day and the night before.
Oh, and that's actually a good point right there. Were you not anticipating this element, this different element that came into the city or whatever these outside involvements were that changed this? Was that not a factor that you were anticipating?
No, we knew, or at least we suspected, that there were some outside elements. We saw some of that obviously on Saturday night. But on Sunday, the recommendation was to enhance our mutual aid operations with other, jurisdictions throughout the region, and that additional mobility would enable us to deal better with what we had seen the night before. And again, no deaths, no permanent destruction, but again, any destruction of any kind is unacceptable, but it was a rough night on Sunday night as well.
So going back to the Stephon Clark crisis in the region,
Okay. There
were many, many tense days and nights. There were moments that were just electrified with the possibility of explosion. But the city and county leaders came together with protest leaders. The faith community was a loud and active voice, law enforcement with citizens. And there was this kind of fabric that was woven that kept a certain level of constraint. Now, that's just my personal observation. It's a narrative that is in the history books of the city. Did you envision that was going to be possible this time around, or how different was this?
This was very different. We have never seen something like this in our city, and of course, it's not unique to our city. It's going on throughout the entire country. And yes, the same leaders who helped keep the peace in 2017 and again in 2019 have been involved, many of them on the front lines. But they were not the ones who were controlling people who were bent on destruction. The protest organizers on Saturday, at least on Saturday night, did a very good job of organizing a peaceful protest. It was only when that part of the protest ended and some people splintered and people who we don't know, people who are not known to us as community leaders, were very organized. We've been told that there were people on bikes with radios and or phones directing different people to go in different directions to loot and to destroy. And that's what we were facing. And it was not something that we've experienced before in Sacramento. And I think that's true of many other parts of the country. And so that community fabric that you described is stronger than ever. It is stronger than ever. It's just this was had a very, very different flavor because of who, and we still don't know exactly who, was engaged and involved and leading, not the protests, but the destruction that occurred after nightfall.
All right, we're down to that last minute or two when I have to ask you a couple quick questions, so let's get through these quickly. Do you have a percentage estimate of the people who were in the streets in the city? How many were in what we're calling the legitimate protest category with a message and a specific purpose in this moment in time? And what percentage do you think were there to take advantage of this moment in time and ravage and destroy the city?
I don't know. I think the majority of people there protesting during the day were intent on peace and sending a message. When it came nighttime, it changed.
Okay. There were 48 people arrested last night. Final point I want to get to is this announcement of the curfew with less than 3 hours' notice. A lot of people already downtown not able to know. Should there, could there have been more notice? And
First of all, I announced this at 10 o'clock. Was it 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock yesterday morning?
Actually, we said it in the midst of this hour that there would be a curfew. You're right.
Yes, so I did. But, you know, the formal decision was not made until the council met in the afternoon.
Yes.
But I signaled this very early, and I did that purposely because I wanted people to have as much notice and time as possible. And again, we intend to continue the curfew at least one more night.
All right. What about the 48 people arrested last night? Was that a curfew issue? Were they people who were there in outside groups intending to, again, cause vandalism and damage?
I'm still getting reports. Some were arrested for vandalism and looting, and some were arrested for violating the curfew. And by the way, arrest is not the first thing that the police do if the curfew is violated. In fact, you saw Stavante in the group went well into 9:30. It is first asking people peacefully, nicely, respectfully to please go home. If they persist, then they're arrested. And, you know, that's unfortunate, but we kept the peace last night, and I think that's a good thing.
Mayor Steinberg, these conversations are important, as you know. Thank you again for your time today.
Always, Beth. Thank you.
That is Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. There will be continuing coverage throughout the day, and as you just heard, the curfew will begin again at 8 o'clock tonight. That's for Sacramento and West Sacramento. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. We'll continue after a break.